Thank you, Brother Ron, for reminding us God cares, no matter what you're going through. Woo! And thank you, Sister Doris, for that timely word and poem. And thank you for our guests. I mean, you all, every little bit that we can get from the Lord. And just like Brother Terry said, we overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We never want to forget our testimony, what the Lord has brought us from and bringing us through, okay? So we want to just thank God in everything. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for another day of life. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to assemble together and glean what you have for us today. Lord, may it fill us, may it fill our hearts and our spirits, Lord, and make us just a little bit stronger, that we walk a little closer to you, Lord God, as we sit and partake of your word. Thank you, and we honor you. Speak through me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we started last week. Those of you who were here, you know, we're continuing on with the sermon the Lord gave me. I give an offering to you. I give an offering to you. And you know how it is. I never know from week to week what the Lord is going to give me. So this is the sermon that he gave me. And I didn't know if it was finished, but he had a little more to pour out into us. Just a little more in the bottle to pour out. You ever wanted to get that last little drop of ginger ale and you just want to make sure it just gets in there and you turn it up and there's a little more in there and it's, if it's not too flat, and you don't care, you drink it anyway. It's been there for days, but you want, that's how this word is. You don't want to leave anything in the cup. You want to get it all out, okay? So we're going to continue with part two of our sermon, I Give an Offering to You. And, of course, we're speaking in terms of giving offerings to God, okay? And let me add, because I know this is going out to Periscope and it's going out over the airwaves and the radio and different things. I want to add that when you hear me say God, I'm speaking in reference to the one true God. Let me make that clear right now. I'm speaking of the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because let's face it, people serve many gods. People serve many gods, and so we need to know that when we're talking about gods, we're talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're talking about Jesus Christ. That's the one true God. People serve many gods. Buddhists serve and honor and worship Buddha. Hindus serve many gods. They said they have many gods and religious icons. They have things called murtis, and they worship these things. And did you know, for example, the Mormons themselves, their founder, Joseph Smith, they believe that Adam himself was Jesus' father and God. Did you know that? So you see, obviously, if left to our own design and our own intelligence or our own ignorance, and I don't mean stupidity, I mean ignorance because we're just not knowledgeable. Okay, left to our own ignorance, we'll serve anything or anybody. But there's only one true God, and that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When we have to know that, the Bible, which is the inerrant word of God, says in Hosea 4:6, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That means you compare, what you don't know can hurt you. You know, the world will tell you what you don't know won't hurt you. Throw that one back. What you don't know can hurt you because the Bible says it right there, for lack of knowledge. And I'm sure we've all heard that. It's quoted in churches all around the world. But the entire verse of Hosea 4:6 goes even a step further. It says that when we reject God's knowledge, that we can be rejected. So it's important that we know this, and if we know it, we need to act accordingly, because if we know it and we reject it, then he says, I'll reject you. He says, I'll even reject your children to come after you. So when you think about things like that, and we want our generations and generations to follow us to prosper so they can suffer and become forgotten when we forget or forego God. We need to know that right now. So Do your research. All those of you who are listening and hearing this word before we get started, do your research. We live in an age of, thank you, Pastor, an age of technology, an age of information where it's really right at your fingertips. Some of us sit in front of that computer all day and talk to auntie and uncle and friends, and we got all kinds of FaceTime and alone time and downtime. We need to take that computer and do a little bit more than just gossip on it. Search the scriptures. Find out the truth. Don't go on tradition. Don't go on what your grandparents believed in. Find the true word of God to know that you are on the right track. Amen. And you'll find out there's no doubt about it. Jesus is Lord. There's no other way around it. Nothing else has been proven to that point. No other religious icon, no other deity in the world. I'm a living testimony that he's true because I didn't believe in him. And I believed in what my parents believed in. And we followed Elijah Muhammad. And we were Muslims and everything else. But I found out when God came to me and sent angels before he got there that told me he was coming. And I saw them. And I've never had a beer in my life. Never been intoxicated. But I saw these angels, had been to college, had was doing police work, was a sergeant of police. And I'm seeing angels. And they tell me that Jesus is coming. And then he manifests himself. And comes, I didn't need to search on the internet. I knew this had to be God. This had to be God. And now you tell me that 12 years later, I've been pastoring in a church? Come on, now you know there's got to be Jesus. Somebody that didn't believe in church, didn't believe in pastors. I'll tell you what, do your research, please. Don't waste another minute. Find out who you need to serve. Find out why we worship the Lord our God, okay? So with that, the fact is that if we know that Jesus Christ is Lord, the way, the truth, and the life, there's no question then whom we should serve, amen? If we know he's great and greatly to be praised, we ought to be serving him. We ought to be serving him. We ought to be making our offerings to him. And, you know, last week we looked at the book of Romans. We looked at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to open up with that again, with that verse again, that scripture. I'm going to ask my wife, Pastor Annalisa, please, to come and remind us. Read, if you will, Romans 12, 1 and 2 for us, please, Pastor.
Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Thank you, Pastor. Good and acceptable and perfect all of that
will of God.
Praise God. I just love the way little old Pastor Annalisa reads, boy. She just reads. Sometimes she's reading at home. She'll take me somewhere. I'll just be sitting there. Yeah, yeah. You know, that's how that word is. You want to get every bit of it, okay? Come on. You want to suck the marrow out the bones. Get it in you. That's protein. All right, so this word is true, and the word is accurate, and we understand then, in all that is in us, we must seek to present ourselves as what? Living sacrifices to God, okay? And that's the one true God. Now, not somebody else's made-up God. That doesn't mean that you're supposed to present yourself to other ideas that don't follow the word of God. We're talking about submitting ourselves to Jesus. That's why Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Everybody's not in the position you're in. There are people out there that don't know Jesus. There are people out there that don't believe in Jesus. He says, listen here, I beseech you, I beg you. That's what that means, beseech. When you beseech somebody, you're imploring them. I'm pleading with you. This is good for you. I beg of you, by the mercies of God, God help you. I'm telling you that you need to present your bodies as living sacrifices to God. That means over and over again. You're a living sacrifice. You're not no turtle dove. We call sheep, but you're not a ram in the bush. You are, well, you can be a ram in the bush. We talked about that. But basically what it means is that we're living sacrifices, meaning that we live, we continue, we walk in this flesh. And every day of our lives, you're going to be expected to serve the Lord in all you do. Living sacrifice. You know what it means to be a living sacrifice? I mean, you can't do what you want to do. Did you know we're here for God's purpose? We are. Did you know he made us in his image? He did. Do you know that when Adam and Eve double-crossed the Lord, that we were all plunged into sin, and ever since then he's trying to restore us back into the image of God? Yes, he is. You can go from Genesis all the way to Revelation. God's not going to turn away from his plan, okay? He designed us in his image, male and female. He says, I created them, okay, in his image. So again, we're talking about, Paul is talking in this scripture about we're living sacrifices. Because listen, if you serve false gods, then you wind up serving false ideas. You get false ideas from false gods and false doctrines. But when you serve the one true God, he puts you on straight street. You start seeing things and not as people want them, because people will lead you the wrong way, but you want to see them as the Bible says, which is the inerrant word of God. That means there's no mistakes in it. It's right down the line. Okay? So you want to make sure that you're following this Bible. Okay? And the way to do that is to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We're here for his purpose. Don't take any wooden nickels. Don't believe in that other stuff. If that other stuff doesn't sound right, you say, where is that in the Bible? Let me check it. If you're a pastor, say something that sounds kind of sideways, check it in the Bible. Pastors are human. They make mistakes, but if they keep on doing it, and then you watch how they're living. Because it says that you'll bear fruit. You watch the fruit of that person. You listen to the word. You don't just go and believe everything people tell you. The Bible tells us that. Trust no man. Trust God. Trust the God in man. Okay? Look at Jeremiah 17:5. Look, understand what it's saying to you. So, that's right. Make you want to holler sometime. But that word will get you... That word to get you straight, okay? Thank you, little one. Remember what it says in Colossians 2, 8, and 9. It says, beware lest you be cheated through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, the basic principles of the world, but not according to Christ. See, men will tell you things. The world will lead you a certain way. It says, beware. That means just be on your toes. Be sober. Be vigilant, right? Watch and see what the Bible says, because the world will take you clear to the left or right, but it may not be the word of God. And churches have their own ideas sometimes. Even people that say they follow God, they come up with tradition. I told you. I was at a church one day, and this was long before I was a pastor, and everybody circled to pray, and they held hands, and a man came in and said, no, 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 y'all loose your hands down there and let the spirits out. Loose your hands so the spirits can, we want them to get out of here. Loose your hands, because if you keep your hands clasped in the spirits, where does it say that in the Bible? That means every time you pray, you can't even make a circle? Wait a minute, now wait a minute. God said, I've given you authority over to trample on serpents and scorpions and over every work of the enemy, every work of evil, and by no means will they harm you. Close hands, open hands, close eyes, open eyes, on your knees, down the street, in the jail, in the ghetto, in your car, on the rooftop. You got power over demons. So please, Don't tell me that. You see, it's important that you know this word. People tell you anything. Don't you believe that? Just politely excuse yourself and say, praise God. And you just start praying for those people because it's important. God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Oh, demon can't do anything to you that the Lord doesn't allow him, won't allow him to do. And he's giving you authority through Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit enters you, somebody got to move out if the Holy Spirit is living in you. Huh? If the Lord of hosts is in you, who else is in there? You better get on up out of here. Right? Think about it. This word. See, it's more than just reading the Bible. You got to get this thing in you. You see how we put the scriptures on the, you know why they put the scriptures on the wall? I was going to say we don't have a projector board, but we put them on the wall screen. Some people have a screen, whatever the case may be. We put it up there for convenience. So, but the way it is, this Bible, we're supposed to have this Bible. We're supposed to bring it because one day the lights may go out like they did at our house yesterday. The lights just went out. I never heard the neighborhood so quiet. It was peaceful for a change. Said, so thank you, Lord, because we've been praying about the loud music, and the Lord cut off all the lights, and it was peaceful. I said, we'll stay in darkness for peace, Lord. But this Bible is the word of God. But you know what happened when we went down to South Africa to minister and we went to India? They didn't have all this, but they knew that Bible. And the ones that didn't have the Bible, guess what? It was in them. So they pulled out the scripture, comes out of you, see? And that's why it's important that we know this word. Don't tell me no counterfeit stuff. Because you can tell a counterfeit bill is not just, it's not going to look right because you've seen the real deal. You've seen the real word. You may not know the address. You may not know all the numbers. But you certainly know that word of God, amen? And that's how we want to be, so we carry it in us. So that word in Colossians tells us that. Again, this scripture is saying, I'll use Mormonism as an example, some of the things that you that people believe in, and it'll tell you it's taking you the wrong way because Mormons believe Adam to be the father of Jesus when Jesus was the creator of the world. See, so if you know that, you know there's something going on. Even if in your confusion you don't understand that Jesus appeared or manifested himself incarnate in the flesh of a man as he walked the earth in order to fulfill his mission. Even if you don't know that, the fact remains that all you have to do is go to John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The word is Jesus. It doesn't say anything about Adam. Doesn't say anything about anything else. And if you want to go further back, just go to the first line in the Bible in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. God, who was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Son, Jesus being God, three parts but one God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That includes Adam, Eve, Steve, anybody else that comes along. So how in the world did they jump in front of Jesus and become his daddy? Now see, I have a godly discontent when I see things that don't line up with the Bible and people want to push that point. That's why it's important that we know this word. That's why it's important that we know this word. The creator is none other than Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus not only created Adam, but the world itself. And it was not the other way around. Nobody created Jesus. No, he's not Satan's cousin. And the other stuff that these folks will tell you, well, they left out scriptures of the Bible. Good. Probably need to be out. God allowed it to stay out. He says this finished product is the inerrant word of God. If you add anything to it, the plagues of this book will be added to your life. If you take anything away from it, I'll take your name out of the book of life. That ends that conversation. Next, anybody else? Well, but if people don't find truth, they live their lives following lies. And that's what we don't want to do. We're living sacrifices. So it would behoove each and every one of us to heed the words of the Bible, especially contained for purposes of this sermon. What's contained in Romans 12, 1 and 2 as living sacrifices. That's very important. That means that we ourselves should live and offer ourselves to God. And that means that we should consider it our duty. It's our duty to be used by God and for God's divine purposes. Think about that for a minute. It's your duty. I beseech you, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. That's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good to who? Good for who? You or God? Good and acceptable to whom? Us or God? Acceptable to God. That's what the word says, you see. We got to understand what the word is saying. By the mercies of God, we need to do all of that. Now, when you present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, that means that some things might happen to you that you don't really want to happen. And God might be using you. We got a lady in here now who battled cancer. I understand that we've been praying and God's doing miracles in her life, presenting herself holy and acceptable to God. I know some people that won't come to church when they get a sniffle. She came all the way from Sacramento to get with the Lord. You see what I mean? You see what I mean? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. See? That's the difference. That's the difference. He didn't say, present yourself as a living sacrifice and I'm going to keep you very comfortable because you're holy and acceptable to God. He didn't say, present yourself as a living sacrifice and you're going to be all right, for those who want the proper grammar. He didn't say that. He said, I beseech you that you present yourself, that you get it in you that this is your purpose. This is what God wants from you. He said, but I don't want that. Can't I just serve him? I heard of a preacher who was blind. A blind preacher. Telling the congregation how good they look. A blind preacher. You know what they did? They broke in his church. A blind preacher. A man with a cane. Do you know what it takes to preach? Do you know what it takes to prepare? I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I hope the Lord called you to do it. Because you're going to work and you're going to work and you're going to work some more because this is God's purpose. But I can't complain about a thing when there's a blind preacher out there preaching. People breaking in his church and things like that. Don't you know he's got to be seeing with Jesus? He's got to be looking at the Lord every day. He may not see you, but I'm telling you what, if he's seeing God, that's why the Lord called him right there. His purpose. We want to be whole. God said, you're here for my purpose. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Brother Ron was just talking about that. I ain't going to tell you what Brother Ron's been through. Ron has had some Job incidences. Still praising the Lord. Living sacrifices. That means it might happen to you over and over again. Will you quit? Will you stop? Will you sit down and say, I don't want none of this. I can do better all by myself. I can do bad by myself, Lord, and just slide out the back door? Or will you step up and say, this is my lot in life. I'm a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I've got to get to that point. So that's what this means, you all. That's what it means. I hope you see that in the scripture because that's what it's saying. We might not want to hear it that way, but that's the way the word of God is telling us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Give yourselves to God. Offer up yourself to God. That's what it's saying. It says it right there. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. In other words, a type of burnt offering, piece of barbecue. And I don't want to mess up your backyard barbecues. I know this is Memorial Day weekend. And you may not ever look at a piece of barbecue the same again. I have a feeling y'all will. But I'm just saying, I'm not trying to ruin anything. Just a figure of speech. But we are basically burnt offerings for the Lord. Okay? That's what we are. Okay? And we must understand that our purpose as followers of Christ, we must see ourselves as living vessels, sacrifices, offerings, first and foremost. And you know why? I'll tell you why. Because when you see yourself as a living, breathing offering to God, the things that you purpose to do in life become offerings to God. When you yourself are an offering, it's easy to extend offerings to God. Does that make sense? When God lives in you, God is going to come out of you. See? Jesus said in the book of John that me and the Father will come and make our abode in you. See, you can't do these things. You can't do the things that God wants you to do if you're not truly committed to God, right? You can try. You can fake it. You can say it. You can get up here and shout and holler all day long. But the Lord said, not so fast. Let's send a test his way. Let's send a test her way and see what's really in him. Get you out on that freeway. Let somebody pull in front of you the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Jesus go right out the window. He pulled in front of me like that. Pom, pom, pom. What's wrong with you? Don't you know which way to go? Where'd you get your license? Sears? And then you pull in front of the person. It's the same person that was up here saying, oh, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Bom, bom, Roadhog. It's God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Something wrong somewhere. Living sacrifices. Living sacrifices is what we are to be. Living, breathing offerings of God. The things that we purpose to do in life. And that's how we can give the offerings. I hope we're getting that because it's absolutely true. See, if this was a college course, it'd be called Real Talk 101. Lecture class. Real Talk 101. Because this is real talk. You want real talk? Part of the problem that many people have of not making purposeful offerings to God is because they don't fully understand. They don't fully understand that their true purpose in life is to be an offering for God. That's why it's so hard for us to commit to God, because we don't realize our purpose. You can't do your job if you don't understand the job scope. You do other things when you don't understand what God's purpose is for you. But watch this. When you understand that you yourself are a living sacrifice, then sacrifices will flow from you. See? When you see yourself as an offering to God, then offerings flow from you. Again, we're not speaking of monetary or our offerings or money or even physical items, but spiritual things will flow from you. That's what we're talking about. More or less, love is going to be flowing from you. It's going to be offered up from you because as a living sacrifice to God, love has to be in you in the first place. You have to love what God loves. See? And that's one of the things, because we know that God is love. And I'm talking about unconditional love. I'm talking about forgiving your neighbor love, forgiving your husband love. Forgiving little wifey love. That type of love. Forgiving those hard-headed children type of love. Huh? Person who wronged you, didn't pay you back that $5 and you've thought about it for 5 years. That type of love. Living sacrifice, because God will send 4 or 5 people that owe you money and none of them will pay you back until you start loving them and praying for them. I tell you, I got some neighbors, boy. They love to spin donuts down the street and play the music loud enough that you can't hear the TV. If you're in the living room, you can't hear the TV in your room, but you can hear that music 7 houses down. How did their music overtake the TV that's right in front of you? I said, Lord, I'm not going to ask you to smite them. I'm not going to ask you to remove them. But Lord, can you do something about this? Because I'm praying. He said, well, that's what you do, son. You pray for them. He said, but just think of this. He said, some people don't have a problem with loud music in their neighborhoods. There are some countries where people are dodging bombs being blown up down the street. Which is worse? I said, let them play. See? It's happening for a reason. Getting us to the point that can we forgive? Because he can put you in a worse situation, you see. When you're ill and you can still walk, you say, I still can praise him. If he takes your legs and you can't walk, you say, I still have my mind. If he takes that, he says, I got somebody to pray for me. See, there's always another level that you can go to praise him and to give him glory as a living sacrifice. I've seen people in wheelchairs, amputees, and when you come and you see them and you come and minister to them and the smile on their face is so bright that they say, praise God, what do you have for me today, Pastor? And they just bless me before I even said a word. You ever seen that? That's a living sacrifice. Our friends at Vail Care Home, lady on her back can't move. Can't even move. All she can do is just watch you with those big old eyes and speak out of her mouth. And we got another young man named Reggie, lays on his back. Oh, but when you come in there and speak a word to the Lord by his bedside, he just lights up. And his eyes get big in his mouth. And it blesses you. And you coming to bless him. Here's a man that's a living sacrifice for the Lord. Lying in a bed, used to be a model, handsome, young man, stricken. They don't even know what happened. On his back, vegetating. Somebody else would say, take my life now. But he's a living sacrifice to the Lord. That's what we're talking about right here. We can get up and walk around and talk and say hello and have a Wendy's burger or whatever else you eat and everything else. We got nothing to complain about. Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you learn what you're here for. That's what he's saying. If I can paraphrase, you learn that you're here not for your own good, but God's good. He's got a plan for your life. I beseech you by his mercies that you learn this thing. We really do need to. We really do need to learn that. Again, not about money, not about giving your offerings and things like that. It's a spiritual offering that flows from you. And you know, just think about it. If you got God in you, some of you have certain cars and you might have a nice car, a nice truck. I don't know if they still do that. It's been a while since I bought a new car, anything like that. But I'm just thinking, do they still have premium gas or did they make them all go leaded now? Okay, but you remember premium? You have some engines, some of those big fancy engines, you got to put the premium gas in it. And when you put the premium gas in, you get a premium ride, don't you? Uh-huh. When you use that high octane gas or that good oil, maybe Mobil 1 or whatever else, you don't get the cheap stuff. Just go to the store and get some oil and pour it in there and hope you make it to the next street corner. But when you get that good old oil change and that that good stuff in there, then your engine purrs better, doesn't it? You can tell when it starts. It just purrs. Well, when you got God in you and you got the Lord in you, you're going to purr just like that. You should expect to move just like that. You should expect to just cruise on down the road. Yeah, you might hit a bump. Shock absorber took care of it. You're going to keep on moving. You're just not going to go punk on because your engine is running with the high octane gas of the Lord. Your engine is oiled up with the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit living in you. So what's going to flow from you is a smooth ride. Even in the face of trouble, even in the face of trials, even in the face of cancer, even in the face of diabetes, even in the case of whatever, even in the case of a government that's confused, you're still going to flow. See? That's what he wants us to understand. That's what the Lord wants us to understand. It's God stemming from you and having a love for God in you. When you have a love for God in you, you're going to have a love, the love of God coming out of you. The Bible tells us when we're right with God, we make even our enemies, right? Even our enemies come to like you and come to respect you. You have peace with your enemies. They go, yeah, you know, I can't stand her. I used to couldn't stand him or her, but you know what? Something about it. I'm just going to leave it alone. Because they see God in you. Hard to kick against the goals. That's what Jesus says. It's hard to knock this thing down. It's hard to come against God. Huh? It's hard to come against God's people. Oh, yeah, you might do some dirt for a while, but guess what? God's going to turn that thing around. He says that I'll cause your enemies who come before your face to be defeated before your face. He said they'll come out at you one way and they'll flee seven ways. I think about little ants when you open up the, pull up the rock and they just scatter. They just scatter. And that's God because we have the love of God in us. Pastor, can you take us to two scriptures? Take us to Matthew 22:36, and then take us to Mark 12:30.
Matthew 22:36 says, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the great commandment in the law? Mm-hmm. And Mark 12:30 says, and you shall love, this is Jesus speaking, Matthew 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
Go back.
This is the first commandment.
Go back to Matthew 22:36. Read 37.
Matthew 22:36 says, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?
Now go to 37. Just read that.
37 says, in the law, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
You see, in both of these, thank you, Pastor, in both these scriptures, that's it's telling us with potency and substance that we must get to the point where we love the Lord with all we have in us. That's what we're saying. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's the greatest commandment for a reason. It's for a reason because it carries with it the greatest meaning and significance for our lives. Yeah, it does. See, if we are to be fully, if we're going to be used fully for God's divine purposes during our lifetimes, we have to come to the point where we love God more than life itself. That's how it is. We love him more than life itself. So everything we do then is done for God's purpose and with a love for God. That serves as our foundational platform. That's the starting point from which we operate. If you have a love of God, a love for God, you can't do some of the things you want to do. Can't get back at people. You can't deal with people the way you used to deal with them. You can't respond. Even though people treat you wrongly, you have to find another way to look over them. You have to find a godly way of handling things. I know some people. I know some people in here right now that have been wrong right out there on the street after church. And one brother came up to me and told me. Somebody disrespected him. And you just don't disrespect this brother. He'd break you in half if he want to. I mean, he ain't no joke. You dealing with ex-Marines and stuff like that, you're going to pick on. If you're going to, see, that's how the devil make a fool out of you. Devil get in you, whisper in your ear to go pick on that 250-pound ex-Marine named Sean. Go pick on him. And that's what happened. God just want to call Sean out right there in the parking lot. I said, I know that man crazy. Lord, the devil really messed with him. But you know what? Sean handled it so smooth because he had the Lord in him. And he came to me and told me about it, huh? That just came out of church. Tell me the devil won't jump you. He'll jump you soon as you carjack you. Soon as you get out of church, hold you up. Stick up. Devil, stick you up as soon as you get out of church. Hold you up. You can't see him. That's what he did to this man. But Sean had the Lord in him, had God in him already. You know, went back and told me about it. We just prayed and just let the Lord handle it because he was in him. And if Sean had not been that way and had not had the Lord in him, we've been calling 911. There's a body in, there's somebody laying down in the parking lot. And it would have messed up our whole testimony. Spirit of Truth Church maims man in parking lot. Pastor taught him to do it. You know they got to include the pastor. Then the devil really started lying. Pastor is dangerous. All that other stuff. But see, the Lord was with us. That's why we love the Lord so much. That he goes before us and he's our rear guard. That's what the Bible says. Is that right? That's a good example of it right there. So we need to know that. We definitely need to know that God is for us. And God doesn't need our love, but we sure do need his, don't we? You understand that? God doesn't need your love. Thank you. Thank you, but I created you. I can do this without your love. I knew a lot of you wouldn't love me anyway. So thank you. See, he doesn't need our love, but we need his love. That's what we need to understand. We need God's love. Where would we be without God's love? I shudder to think. I shudder to think. We definitely would be standing here today. We wouldn't be in this church without God's love. We wouldn't be discussing this Bible today without God's love. You know why? Because it's hard to formulate thoughts when there's not a world to formulate. Because he could have blown this world up a long time ago if it wasn't for the love of God, right? So we need God's love. We need his love, and we need to know that God has an agape love. We need God's love. Just as importantly, we need to love the Lord with all that is in us. And that's why we don't fall in love with the world. That's why we can't afford to fall in love with the world. That's why the Lord says, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're not going to have room to love the world. When you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you wake up thinking about him. You go to bed thinking about him. You wonder when the next time you can be with him. Sound familiar? Think back to when you first fell in love. You fell in love. Guys, remember Miss Pretty Little Thing? Just the way she talked. Just the way she walked. It's just something about her. Just a perfume. I can still smell it. That's my first love. I can say that. We met at 14. And I remember when Annalisa moved away. No, we moved. My mother moved and tried to find a better way. You know, I was living in the projects on the south side of Chicago. And when we moved, I was grieved. I couldn't think. I didn't want to go to school. I was just all messed up because I said, when am I going to see her again? I didn't even know how to get to her side of town, you know. And I was just messed up. And I got my brother. I would bribe him because he had a car. And it was about 1971. He had a little Firebird. I said, nickname was Squeaky. I said, Squeaky, can you take me over? Take me over to their house. He said, what's in it for me? I said, oh, man, I don't know. trying to come up with a little coin. I'll buy you a hamburger or something. And we go over there and we just walk around. And I didn't want to come to a house and look like I'm begging or anything. But I sort of was a, you know, I guess that was a pre-stalking day. So you weren't stalking her. But I hung around at an old store. Huh? Goldblatt's, a store called Goldblatt's, outside of Chicago. I hung around Goldblatt's, hoping. I guess so, I didn't know the Lord then, but he was with me. Hoping that I would just see her or a brother. You know, it was about 20 of them. I figured I'd see one of them out here somewhere. You know, that was before Bebe, but it was a lot of kids. Is what I'm trying to say, Bebe's kids. So I'm looking and looking, and there she is, standing in the book aisle. Boy, my heart started beating. And I tried to act like I didn't see her. I just walked by. She said, Joel. I said, yes. What are you doing here? I'm just in the neighborhood. I miss you. I mean, I see you. Messed up, sprung. All my friends, big wimp, following that girl around like he's crazy. What's wrong with him? That's how we need to be with the Lord. That's how we need to be with the Lord. Seeking him as a deer pants for the water. We're not going to be right until we see him because we love him so much. See, that's the foundation. That's what I said. That's what we're talking about. That's the only way you can fulfill this thing. Well, Paul is saying, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice. That's it. You can't do that unless you just got the love of God in you. That's why he says this is the greatest commandment. I mean, Jesus says all other commandments flow from this. All the law of the prophets, he says, flow from this. Read it. Read Matthew 22, verse 36 on down to 40. And see what he said. All the laws of the prophets flow from this. See, you can't get this thing right until we get the love of God in us. See? And that's what we need to be. I use that example because that's how we need to feel about the Lord.
And you know what? I just want to add. Can I add this, Pastor? I just want to add this. To give up
I'll give for your
the
wife
Lord.
A mic.
To give up for the Lord. No, he was talking about being strong. But to give up for the Lord, you love the Lord so much that you start giving things up for him. I was young, but I was kind of a little wild child because, of course, he said, oh, my baby kids, smoking, and this is being transparent, smoking, drinking, you know, just a little wild child. But you know what? He never smoked. He never drank. He didn't eat pork. I gave up all three. So if you do it for a person, a man, a boy, how much more for the Lord? How much more for the Lord? Well, I did go back to the pork, but I did give up the rest. Just didn't do the chitlins.
Obviously, the Lord can use anybody because, of course, I didn't know the Lord and my parents didn't know Jesus and they followed the Muslim religion. My father was one of the teachers with Malcolm X years ago. And so they were trying to find God, but they didn't know him. But I'm just saying that God knows where you are. And we go back to Romans 8:28 to 30, where it says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined, right? He predestined. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. If God has a calling on your life, just answer the phone. He's about to call you up. You answer that phone when God calls because he's going to get in touch with you like he got in touch with me. Did you know he pulled me out of a family of 13 children? No, he did it through football. Gave me 16 offers to play football all out of the state of Illinois. He was not going to let me stay in Illinois. Sent me all the way to Idaho, potato country, a city boy from Chicago. To play ball. It wasn't about football. but removing me from a cult relationship so that he could come to me at the age of 49 along with angels, along preparing me to do his job. And then after he said, now I've anointed you to do the work, now I'm going to send you to school to get the paper to get you in man's doors, and send me to 3.5 years of theology school. That could only be God. That could only be God. So again, we need to love him. And if those of you who heard for part one of this, you remember we went back to the Old Testament. We went back to Exodus. We went back to Exodus 34, right? And we looked at the importance of offering the Lord our first fruits, right? And actually, there's a verse in Exodus 34 that tells us in those days that God's people were expected to give the first of their first fruits to the Lord. That means the very best unblemished offering that you could give, that's what God desired. I say desired because that's past tense, but don't let it confuse you. That's present tense for us today. God wants the best that we can offer in our offerings to him. Again, not your money, your spiritual offerings of the Lord to the Lord. He wants the best that you can offer. He doesn't want anything left over. He wants your best attitude. Huh? Not that attitude that, you know, somebody get on your bad side. He don't want that one. He wants your best attitude. He wants your best caring relationship. He don't want any faking. He wants your real best behavior. He wants your best, clearest thinking. You see what I mean? He doesn't want you putting other things before him. He wants your first fruits. He doesn't want you to just study the Bible just because the soap operas just went off. He don't want that kind of offering. He wants you to put him first in everything. He wants you on your knees in the morning. He wants you talking to him when you open your eyes and say, Lord, thank you that I could open my eyes today. Thank you that I didn't have a stroke. Thank you that I still can walk. I can feel my feet. Thank you that my ankles are too swollen today. Thank you, Lord, that I can walk and I can think in my own right mind. Thank you, Lord, that I have a job to go to. Thank you, Lord, they don't pay me what I want, but thank you that I'm getting a paycheck anyway. Everything. He wants a heart of thankfulness in us. First fruit, not second, not third, but first in your life. Absolutely true. Yahweh, the God of creation. That same standard is for us today. And we have to understand that God does not change. He wants our best offering. The Bible, in proper biblical context, teaches us that. Those ceremonial laws, the civil laws, okay. We don't practice them today, but obviously they're still relevant. The idea is still relevant. Jesus said that himself. I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. It's fulfilled through Jesus Christ. But look at this. Look at what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. Look at what he says. Let's go to the New Testament. Pastor, can you read that for us?
Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Again, doesn't that sound sort of like Romans 12:1-2? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. You know why it's no longer Paul who lived? Because Paul gave his life up for the Lord. Go back to Matthew 16:24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's the same thing he's saying right here. I've been crucified with Christ. I've died to my old self that I may rise with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's not about me anymore. It's not about the way I look. It's not about how I used to live. The Lord trimmed me down, took my hair. It's not about anything. I had a full head of hair. Took that. Told me I was a distraction. I was a big old muscle-bound guy. And that's good. I like that. I like people who train, who care about themselves. But he says, for me in this pulpit, that's not what I have for you. Because I was out of the world. I said, Lord, can we talk? Can we negotiate? I said, I've been training all my life, Lord. And it's for good health, right? This is our temple, right? And I see men that tear license plates in half and you use them. They do strength feats all over the world for Christ. Work out for Christ. They do all kinds of stuff. I said, what about me? He said, that's not what I have for you. He says, distraction. I had to think about that one. You know, I was still a little rough around the edges. I went right back to that gym. Boy, I'd load that bench press up. Surely the Lord has another way. Shoulders start hurting. Tried to lift them weights. Oh, no. Next time I come in there, I rested up. You're just working too hard. Lord, just looking. No, angel, let him try. He hard-headed. Go back in there the next time. Left shoulder. Oh! Got to the point where I couldn't hardly get out the bed. Finally, to start trimming down. The Lord has a way of getting you where he wants you to be, is what I'm saying, right? He knows what he wants from you, okay? You're a living sacrifice, Bubba. You can't do it your way. My way or the highway. You're a living sacrifice. That's what we have to come to understand. And it's so true. So Paul here says, you ain't got to hit me over the head. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And if you look at Philippians 3, and you go there, and you look at 7 and 8, and Paul says, what things were gained to me, I now count as loss for Christ. He said, the things I thought were important, man, they're nothing now that I'm thinking about the Lord, see? I gave those things up. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Pastor, can you read that one? Read 2 Corinthians 5:17 for us.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, mm-hmm. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Uh-huh.
All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
New in Christ. Christ in you, right? All those things have to pass away. And that means that we take on a new mindset, but it stems from the same standard, the same laws that was put back in Moses' days, okay? The same situation. As a matter of fact, we should understand the importance of what it means to abide by the principles set forth by the Lord. He has a plan for us. He has a perfect plan for us. And I want to take you to another scripture. This is a more important example that's going to help us to see the importance of being in the proper mindset or position when it comes being representatives of the Lord. Pastor, can you take us back to Exodus? Let's go to Exodus 40 and read verses 10 to 16. I know we're running out of time, but I'm going to try to get this in. Exodus 40. I don't know if I gave you that. Verses 10 to 16.
Exodus 40. I don't have it. 10 to 16?
I think that's the one, yeah.
You shall anoint the altar of the burnt. Okay, I'm going from Exodus 40, 10 to 14.
Yeah, just start.
You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils and consecrate the altar.
Mm-hmm.
The altar shall be most holy.
Mm-hmm.
And you shall anoint the laver, the laver, mm-hmm. and its base, and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water.
Mm-hmm.
13, verse 13. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, and he may minister to me as priest. 14 says, and you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics.
Keep going. You shall
anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may be ministered to, that they may minister to me as priests. Mm-hmm. For their anointing shall surely be everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus Moses did according to
all that the Lord had commanded him.
So he did.
All right. Thank you. You see that now. Although the Lord shows us, he not only wants our offering to be in order, but everything associated with that offering is to be in order, right? You see that? Do you get that there? See, everything associated with those offerings, he wants to be in order, just as he did with Aaron. And his sons were directed specifically by the Lord how their offerings were to be made. He prepared the place for the offering. He prepared Aaron for the offering. The altar where the sacrifices were made was anointed. It was a hallowed, holy place, right? So the priests themselves were to be consecrated. He had to make them holy, right? He washed them, cleaned them. Then what did he do? He dressed them. He wants us to be dressed, not so much in priestly garments, but dressed in righteousness spiritually. How do people see you when you go out from here? How does your family see you during arguments, during times when there's conflict? Do they see the righteousness of God, or do they see just another lying Christian? Do they see just another hypocrite? Or can they say, Baba, my auntie, oh, but my sister, oh, but my grandmother, that's a woman of God. I don't care what, she brings peace. Annalisa's sister, they got a prayer line. Let me tell you about this girl named Mary. When I knew Mary, Mary was the most beautiful of her sisters. Annalisa was beautiful too. But Mary was fine. Mary was beautiful. Mary was beautiful. Mary was older than me now. She's 4 years, 5 years older than me, so there wasn't no chance there. So I just left that alone. But I'm just saying, I left Mary alone. And because you were raised that way, don't even look at a girl when I was growing up that's older than you. Boy, stick to somebody in your classroom. So the Lord, me and Annalisa were just beautiful. We were made for each other. But as I got to know her, her sister, and all her sisters are beautiful, but Mary had something special. I never heard Mary say a bad word about anybody. They have a prayer line right now. The Lord told Annalisa, you and Mary will head up this prayer line. Mary had cancer, if I can say that. Healed from it. She had something else. Healed from it. Mary said, if I have to crawl down my stairs and can't walk, I'm going to serve the Lord. She said, I'm going to show up for God. The other day, nobody showed up at the prayer line. I heard six sisters now. Six sisters. I heard Annalisa talking to somebody during prayer. They're just praying away. It sounded like 40 people. Her. I said, who was that praying with you? She said, nobody showed up but Mary. But she's gravely sick. She's got this condition, and she can't pray for long. But she showed up to pray. She has never missed a prayer each week. And I know that God put that girl there even when I was 14 years old to say that, you see, you recognize a woman of God. They're both women of God. But I'm just saying, this is what we talk about when we say you are set apart, holy and consecrated for the Lord. He wants everything we do, because when you let the Lord in you, the Lord is going to come out of you. The Lord is going to show himself strong in everything that you do in the situation. He's going to affect people because they're going to feel the love of God. They're going to feel the power of the Holy Spirit in you, where you can make a change in somebody else's life when he wouldn't listen to anybody else. The Lord will send you. That's why we have to give the Lord everything we've got. So Friday morning, when I asked the Lord if he wanted me to continue with this sermon, he gave me these words, the order of an offering. the order of an offering. The order of an offering. He said there is an order to an offering. There's an order to our offerings. From the leaders of the church down to the congregation, there should be an order in our offering. There should be an order in everything that we do, that we have consecrated ourselves by the orders of God. That we don't see ourselves as regular folk just walking, doing something, happenstance. That we know that I'm on assignment. I am an ambassador for the Lord. I am on an assignment no matter where I am. And the test that comes when I'm not feeling well, when I'm hurting, when people come at me the wrong way, I am still under assignment for the Lord, and there is an ordering, and I now must give my offering to the Lord. I now must offer the gratitude of walking with God. I now must offer reassurance to somebody else, even though I don't feel good. I have to be able to give them something good, because that's the order of the offering, because I love him so much that I can never repay him in my life. So I want to give him all I have, because he gave me all he had. You see what I mean? That's the order of our offerings. That we've got to be able to give that to the Lord spiritually, clothed in righteousness. It's not about just wearing suits and colors. Okay, that's all good for church. But the order of our offering is to take all this stuff off and be clothed in righteousness for the Lord. Naked spiritually. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Represent yourself through me. That's the order of our offering. Holiness. Ministers of God. You say, oh, it's not a, oh, that's too much. Ooh, he kind of intense, ain't he? Well, this is an intense relationship. I don't take anything lightly about God. Not the way he came to me. That's all he had to do. I'm like Paul. What do you want me to do, Lord? Once you see that light, once you see the Lord, that's it. That's it. It's all over. Whether you like it or not, it is over. You try to stay out there on the fringes of town if you want. You better come on in town with the Lord. Staying out there, talking about what they're doing. You better come on in there with the Lord. Clothed in righteousness. And as ministers of God. And don't think that you're not ministers. Read 2 Corinthians 6:3 to 10. Where it says that we give no offense in anything, but in all our ways we present ourselves as ministers of God. Because you're preaching anyway, whether you know it or not. You don't have to be in this pulpit. Everybody's not a pastor, but everybody is a minister. He said, go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the day. How are you going to do that without telling somebody something about this word? How are you going to get up and tell your testimony, your teaching right there that this happened to Sister Sandy? This happened to Ariana's mom? This happened? You're teaching. You're a minister of God. May as well clothe yourself and put on the garments of righteousness. May as well walk in the Lord, because you're a minister anyway. Brother Sean ministered out there with that man. Surely somebody saw that. When Sean left, somebody said, boy, man, what's wrong with you? Did you see that dude? You talk to him like that, boy, you better thank God, thank your Lord that he didn't knock me out. You just ministered to somebody, didn't even know it. Ministers of God. Read that chapter. Read it when you get home. You'll see. You don't have to be a pastor. But when you accept Christ, you become one who ministers the gospel. If not vocally, then by your actions. Better believe it. They need to see the Christ in you, with you, by you. Through you, in you, beside you, in front of you, as you're walking away, your rear guard. They need to see Christ in everything in you. And if Christ then is in you and through you and all over you, above and below you, praise God, you yourself then are an offering. You yourself are an offering because Christ is all over you. You ain't got no choice. You don't have a choice. Sister Sandy ain't got a choice. When she came in here and started ministering, she ministered to me before I got into this platform, to this pulpit today. Sure did. Just by something she said. See, that's God. That's God. That's God. So, we, our offering then becomes second nature because we're an offering. You are now a living sacrifice. You are an offering to God. So your offering, whether it's monetary, your tithes, whether it's a monetary offering, or if it's your help that you do at the work, like Brother Larry running the machine, saying, what can I do for the Lord today? Or Brother Andrew back there and Brother Dave on the sound. If they can come here just one day, they may not be able to come on Tuesday and Wednesday because of their job, but they're offering because of the Lord being in you. Brother Donald, who devil tried to keep him away, but he's constantly, I can mention all of you. All of us are ministers of God is what I'm trying to say. So that means if you're in Christ, you go that extra mile, amen. Especially those of us in leadership, like it says in Luke 12:48, to whom much is given from him or her, much more will be required. Each one of us so-called saved, born-again believers should go above and beyond in our sacrificial offerings to God, giving the Lord your best, giving him your best, okay? Giving the Lord the most of our time, giving the Lord the best effort, giving the Lord the heartiest efforts that we can. Giving him our best. It doesn't mean that you give the Lord your best effort in church. And you say, well, if I'm giving the Lord, you say give the Lord your best effort and your all of your labor, then at work, then I can slack up. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that if you're giving the Lord all your best every day of your life, you're going to be the hardest worker. You're going to be the most dependable person on your job. You're going to be one of the most sincerest, trustworthy people at your job because you know why? You can't help it. You already have the love of the Lord in you. You're not going to be able to do some things that other people can do haphazardly. You're not going to cheat. You're not going to tell lies habitually. You're not going to do certain things because you've got the love of the Lord in you and the Lord and the Holy Spirit is going to be convicting you, even if you want to. You're the type that find money and give it to the person. I was at Safeway or somewhere and somebody had left dollar bills in where you self-serve and you run your grocery and put the little, swipe your card and you pay for it and you get your bag and somebody had left their money there. It was money in the till and it was change. And I looked at it and I couldn't see anybody and I grabbed the money and scooped it up. And I went over to the lady and said, somebody left their money in there. And they said, where? Where'd you get this? I said, it was right there. And they're like, you giving it to me? I have to give it to you. What else am I going to do with it? You see what I mean? For me to keep that money, I may as well have stolen it myself. You see, even if it was $1 million, but I don't want it because I know that my Father lives in me and my riches are in heaven anyway, so you can't buy me with anything here. That's the love of God. That's the love of God, like it says in Colossians 3:23. Everything we do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Amen. So I'm not going to keep you all. I know we're running a little bit over. I think I've got one more scripture, and then I'll close. Each and every one of us, so-called saved, born-again believers, remember why we're here. Pastor, can you take us to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, and I'll close on that.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says, For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, amen, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all. Can you say all?
All.
Who have loved his appearing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Amen. Again, saints, if we believe and truly believe in what we preach, and that is this Bible, the Holy Bible. That's what we preach. If we really truly believe it, especially in light of the sermon and what it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we'll be expected to sacrifice, to be poured out as offerings daily. Daily, as Paul says. We are to be poured out as daily offerings, even as we pour out daily offerings to the Lord. You see? You see how that works? We're poured out as daily offerings by the Lord as we pour out offerings to the Lord daily. Continuing to fight the good fight, endeavoring to keep the faith in all things until we finish this race. Amen? Amen. Amen. So it's my sincere prayer that each of us that here at Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide, leaders and congregants, and those who hear this word, whatever church you attend, it's my prayer that you'll be cognizant of the principles poured out in this sermon message as we just approach God and go to his throne, saying to the Lord, I give an offering to you. I pray that it be acceptable in everything that we do. Amen? Amen. And to those of you who don't know the Lord, as I said before, don't wait another day. Know that he is there for everything that you're going through in your life. Some of you are going through struggles. Some of you are battling addictions, drugs, alcohol. Could be sexual addiction. It could be anything under the sun. There are so many things that we battle. Know that Jesus Christ is there for you. Know that he is a restorer, that he can bring you back to where you need to be. He never stopped trying. It's his intent that we be remade in the image of God. That takes giving up life as you know it and taking on life with Jesus. And it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. It's with the heart that you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So in other words, when you repent your sins and you admit to the Lord that, yes, I'm a sinner, and you repent your sins to him and you ask him into your life, that's all it takes. That's all it takes to get started on the right road. And I'd like to lead you to Christ if you don't know him. I'd like to ask you right now, would you trust? If not me, would you trust in this word? Trust that Jesus died on the cross and ascended, came down and was seen by over 500 people. There's no other deity can prove that to you. Nobody else did it. No, Muhammad didn't do it. He was just a man. No Buddha, a whole family of Buddhas. They were just men. Okay? The Dalai Lama, he says himself, I'm just a man. Don't get it twisted. He tells you that. Okay? Even Catholicism, Mary and St. Peter and St. Paul, people, you don't worship them. There's only one true God. Jesus is his name. Okay? And so you can only be saved through him. Allah, no, I'm sorry to tell you. Just an idol. One of many in Mecca. I'm telling you that because I come from a Muslim background. Nothing new under the sun, as it says in Ecclesiastes. There's only one truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do your research, but don't waste a lot of time because we're in the last days. You need to know where your help comes from, okay? You need to know who can sustain you. You need to know who can turn you around from that rage that's in you. You need to know that only through Jesus Christ, we're all broken in some way. I like to say we're all from the land of misfit toys. God knows how to restore us and make us work, but it comes through Jesus Christ. What's broken on you? What do you need fixed? Pray this prayer with me right now and believe in earnest and watch and see if your life doesn't change. Lay your pride down right now. Let's pray together. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've done some things and I do some things that even I know they're wrong. But I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me. And I'm repenting. I'm saying to you that I know I do these things. I believe you can help me. I believe that you are Jesus, that you died for me, and God raised you up. Would you come into my life? Would you show yourself strong to me, Lord? Lord, if you can do that, I have to follow you. I'm asking you to come into my life now, and I promise you, I'll do all I can to follow you for the rest of my life. And say in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. Congratulations. That's all it takes. You are now a child of God. Get yourself a Bible, a holy Bible, and ask the Lord to place you in a church where they're going to speak the true word of God and not hold back. Okay? It doesn't matter whether it's a church of 20 people or 20,000. It's going to be all about you and your relationship to God. Amen? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll bring the Holy Spirit and he'll teach you. He will anoint you and he will give you the things you need. Amen. You're welcome to come here to Spirit of Truth. You're welcome to join. Just ask the Lord. We like for the Lord to lead you to the house where he wants you to worship. We pray that if that's his will, that it be this church. But if not, just remember, he's going to first put the church in you. Amen. So with that, we're going to pray. We're going to pray a deliverance prayer. We're going to pray against these spirits that pervade all of our lives and the lives of our people. Then we're going to adjourn. I'm a little bit over, so we're going to do this, and then we will adjourn.